It's Wednesday, March 21st, and this might be our doomiest and gloomiest podcast yet. The Milwaukee Bucks can't beat anyone of note, the Green Bay Packers keep losing secondary players, and the Milwaukee Brewers apparently think their starting rotation is good enough. Which one scares you the most? Also, we'll check in and see how our brackets did after all the upsets and comebacks and all kinds of wild action in the NCAA tournament. We'll discuss all that stuff and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome back to another Tap in the Keg podcast episode 277. Charlie, you're with you. Mitch are the ones and twos.
Yes,
how's everybody doing? Happy spring. Doesn't feel like spring outside. It's about 30 degrees. We're still in the middle of a late winter surge from Mother Nature.
Well, I say this every year. We don't get a spring in Milwaukee.
Well, also,
due to our friend Lake Michigan.
Yeah, that's true. And also, like, I just consider spring starting when baseball starts and when the roof's open at Miller Park and when girls are wearing sundresses. Those are the kind of things that I start day drinking, patio drinking, you know?
That is true, and we are probably,
realistically,
like a month and a half away from that.
Well, maybe not that much. I mean, we're probably at least a month out from it. We're a month out, so it's a long, long way to go. But we'll continue the takes, because the takes stay hot. Even if the cold weather gets cold, the takes stay hot. That could be like Skip Bayless' slogan.
That's what it is.
That was pretty bad. So anyways, you can find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowTapWI, Mitch Ross, MKE on the Twitters, as we say. Subscribe, iTunes, and Google Play. You can also visit us, SnowTapWI. It is a website. So we had an interesting podcast. Basically, every team that you care about in the professional sports world is in some sort of flux. So, yeah. I mean, nothing is good right now. And then, like, Mitch opened with, it's the doomiest and gloomiest. I don't know. I mean, we taped a podcast, I think, the Monday after the Packers lost.
That's called, you know, for effect, Charlie, that's called, like, a tease.
Oh, sorry.
That's called, like, a way to attention grab.
You're getting a little Big J on me. I get you. Okay. All right. I see you.
But someone, you know, who might listen regularly, they might be like, oh, God, another pissed off podcast.
Right.
You know?
I mean, how many times can these motherfuckers be depressed about things? I mean, that's probably what they're saying. It's like, aren't you guys ever going to actually be happy with your teams?
In the words of my great high school offensive line football coach, as he once put it, I'm trying to be positive, but you're not giving me anything to be positive about.
That's very true. I mean,
as we talk, that's kind of the case.
Yeah, and you, the Tappers, should take that into consideration listening to this podcast. And you think about, what can we be positive about? I can shine some light on the Packers.
Of course,
and
you can find things to be positive about. Yeah.
Right. I like to think of myself as the glass half full guy. Mitch likes to be more of the glass half empty.
Realistic.
But that's why our podcast works for ourselves. Speaking of realistic, just a quick sidebar. So my mom dug up like some eighth grade like aptitude tests. Do you know I scored the lowest on realistic jobs? They're like, it's what you want to do in your career. I scored a 16 out of like 36 on a realistic score.
I don't think I've ever heard of that, so I'm not really too familiar with
it. I'll share it with you post-pod. I'll let you look at it. But you'll have a good laugh, and you're like, oh, yeah, so Charlie, this dreamer, is just unrealistic.
And this
this
was in eighth grade?
Yeah.
Man.
So a young snow tap there. But
I can only imagine.
just young, dumb, and yeah, just that's – we'll leave it there. Okay, so I think – do you want to start Packers? Do you want to start Bucks? Let's start Packers because I start with the Bucks on Daily Tap. I know that to kind of give you guys a little bit of variance, you can go listen to Daily Tap yesterday where I hit my breaking point with the Bucks. We'll kind of ask Mitch about that and then obviously talk about the Bucks and their future. But the Packers did take some of the headlines today with Morgan Burnett going to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a three-year $14.5 million deal, which makes you think that the Packers didn't want him back. They were okay with Josh Jones taking the reins, and they just said, see you later. I'm okay with it, but I'm fine with Morgan Burnett not playing. What I'm not okay with is the fact that this team literally does not have a secondary.
Right.
And so, I mean,
who's left? Ha ha, Clinton Dix, Josh Jones,
Josh Hawkins, Kentrell Bryce, Hawkins, Kevin King.
Kevin King. There, I mean, they're
Lindsey Pipkins.
They're asking a lot of Kevin King.
Absolutely. Clearly. At this point, they are, but it's a long way to go. I wrote about this yesterday, SnowTap WI. It's a website about you kind of have to apply a little bit of a trust the process here. And so it's like, do you want to freak out yet? Is it worth freaking out now? Or should we assess where they are after the draft?
Yeah.
Because if you just have a bunch of young guys, you're going to say, okay, they're setting themselves up for failure. Or if Mike Pettine believes that, hey, I get a bunch of young guys, I have a kick-ass pass rush, and then that makes my secondary like two times better, then fine. Like, people forget, like, the Eagles kind of had a mediocre secondary. Like, Jalen Mills really wasn't that good of a corner. Was a guy that got picked on. Mm-hmm. But the Eagles pass rush.
He's got the green hair, right?
Yeah. Eagles pass rush was so good that they didn't have to worry about a secondary.
They also had a rookie corner that didn't play the whole year.
Yeah.
So maybe that.
Oh, that, yeah. Sidney Jones from Mississippi State.
Wasn't he from Washington?
Yes. Why did I think he was from Mississippi State?
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Regardless of the fact, good call. You got me on that one.
And, surprised I knew that.
Hey, do we win some, you lose some. You know, producer Murph would have got
again,
me on
the Eagles
it. Anyways.
Were my Madden team to begin the year, so maybe it's the opposite Madden curse.
There you go. Maybe it's the Mitchie, not the Mitchie Mush, which happened again in the tournament.
Yeah.
But not at the Mitchie Mush, but the Mitchie Madden team is the Super Bowl winner. So we'll have to check in with you come August and see who your Madden team is and if that's a predicator to the Super Bowl. But yes, so maybe that's it. So I understand right now it's DEFCON like one. There are still free agents available. But I do worry, and I'll let you weigh in here, is anyone going to be good enough for Packer fans, for the Pinheads? Or is it going to be like...
I mean, not at this point.
Probably. No, it isn't. Because they're just going to poke holes in whoever comes to town.
I mean, they offered a kind of a... I liken it to the Jeff Teague deal the Bucks gave when they did the Kyle Fuller offer sheet, where it was really team-friendly and it was kind of a no-brainer for the Bears to just match.
Right.
And they did it immediately, which is kind of... You don't see that... Too much.
Yeah, it was actually kind of stupid by the Bears because they could have let the Packers hang for like 3 or 4 days and had that money tied up.
It's kind of usually how it works. But
right, yeah.
I guess Ryan Pace doesn't mess around too much, does he?
No, I think it was more of a like they didn't want to let Kyle think that he could be a Packer and stuff like that. And maybe he wanted to be a Packer. Maybe he talked about a desire that he has respect for Lambeau Field. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, pretty much everybody that I think – I've seen anyone on Twitter mention or bring up is pretty much signed.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes you wonder. I don't think anyone that's left is going to – who's left? E.J. Gaines? Like
E.J. Gaines, but he's undersized. I can pull up what Packers Wire had.
Isn't there something out there that the Packers have some kind of standard now since the Amon Carroll?
They've always kind of had a standard.
Where, like, you have to be above 5'10 to be a corner in our defensive system.
Yes, that is.
I think that's a little stupid, but I mean –
No, I disagree with that.
If a guy's good, he's good, right?
I think it's an okay rule.
You prefer a little size.
Okay rule to have. There's more. You're seeing the projection of there are more big receivers out there.
Yeah.
So you limit yourself by having shorter guys.
Speaking of big receivers, do you see that picture of Calvin Benjamin?
No.
Floating out there?
No,
I think it was from when he was with Carolina still.
Oh.
Just a fat ass. Like when he came to camp.
Yeah. He's kind of been a fat ass for a little while now. I mean, this isn't new territory here.
Right.
But Calvin Benjamin is an offensive lineman at this point.
He was a huge receiver. So yeah, I mean, obviously with the way athletes just continue to evolve since you and I were kids, I mean, obviously there's Calvin Johnson's of the world and Calvin Benjamin's. Those guys are huge. So yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but I think that if a guy, just because he's 5'8",
yeah,
that's a little small for a corner, unfortunately. But 5'9", 5'10", you know, if you can play, you can play.
Right. And I think right now, if you look at guys that could work, you know, Breshad Breeland failed a physical because of a cut on his foot and he had to basically got infected. So he's now no longer a Carolina Panther. That was a deal that was in the mix and then failed a physical because of an infected foot.
Was he with the Redskins?
Yes. So he bought a 3-year, $20 million deal, a little bit of a shithead, so it has a little bit of Demarius Randall in him. And, you know, that's a guy that might not be ready until June or July, but scheme-wise, they think he could really fit into what the Packers are doing.
Do you think Packer fans are, like, missing Demaryius Randle? Like, I think initially it was like, oh, I'm glad that dude's gone. And now that, like, they're kind of left out in the cold right now, do you think as this, maybe as the, and even as, you know.
I just think.
You might want that depth.
I think what it comes down to is it's not about the Packer fans. It never is about the Packer fans. We rail about this all the time. But I think what Packer fans are failing to understand is that Mike Patton did not think he was a good cornerback. And he thought it was and he also didn't think he was a safety. If Mike Patton thought that Demaryius Randle could fit on his scheme, Demaryius Randle's still a Packer.
Correct.
And if you're
gonna be a safety, you have to be able to tackle. And that's probably Demaryius Randle's weakest thing.
And to be honest, that's kind of I'm not trying to like cut off the conversation, but that's kind of end of discussion, right? Like when people bitch about Demaryius Randle, I think all sports talk radio has to say is
he can't tackle.
He can't tackle. B, Patton didn't think he was part of the system. Do you think Patton would have got rid of him if he didn't think that was the case, given how this has played out?
That's the quick answer.
It's clear that there were problems, whether it be with McCarthy or with Patton, and it might have been a combination of the two.
Because
you know McCarthy had issues with him.
Yeah.
So it probably was Patton told McCarthy, like, hey, I don't know how much I have with this guy. And McCarthy's like, great, that's an excuse. It's an excuse to get rid of him. And he did. And so that's what happened. So I don't think there's a lot of buyer's remorse.
Well, and two, you have the whole, everybody likes to compare to New England, and they tend to get rid of guys a year early rather than a year late.
That's the whole thing with Jordy Nelson. I mean, exact same thing. And I know we're talking about corners.
As much as we love Jordy Nelson, right? I mean, it is. You just, sometimes you got to let a guy ride it out somewhere else.
Right, and I think what Brian Gutekunst has done
is I think Jordy Nelson is better than Michael Crabtree? I do not.
No, I don't know what John Gruden's doing. I saw something from Chris Westerling of NFL.com saying John Gruden's building a Jeff Fisher-like team. And if I was a Raider fan, who you are, I would not be happy about that quote.
Well, let's just say he's got about all the job security in the world right now.
He does!
So he'll never get fired.
Oh, I know. It's gonna be
I feel like it'd be a Mark Davis thing to just, you just backed up the Brinks truck for John Gruden
to go 6-10.
To go, well, they should be better than that. I don't anticipate Derek Carr being that bad.
I don't know, man. So, I have no idea.
But Derek Carr might be one of those, might be the Matt Stafford of the world where he's you know, good but not great.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see. So, yes, I think there is concern, but I think what we should do with these, since we have this topic, is give like a 1 to 10. 10 being you're terrified, you have monsters in the closet, and 1 being like you're on easy street, you're chilling. Where would you put yourself with the Packers in the secondary?
Of our three
pillars? No, we're just doing one by one. And then
I know, but I'm just saying I'm the least worried about of those three pillars that we're talking about here this afternoon or this evening.
Okay.
I would give it about a 4.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like there's some time. You got the draft. You better take 2-3 guys in that secondary in the draft. And you're probably you're gonna sign somebody.
Yep. I'd agree with you.
And at the end of the day, it's 1/8 of a football team.
Yes. I think you are spot on. I am right there with you. Very low.
So,
there's
4 because it's just it is a little concerning when you hear like, okay, there's nobody left.
Right.
But there's time. And I think you kind of talked me into the Mike Patton idea and not having thought of that. He's got Muhammad Wilkerson. The pass rush should be better and it can hopefully cover up a little bit of a weaker secondary.
Right. And I think they need to still address edge rushers too, which is something that hasn't really been talked about. So like to me, I would still rather draft Harold Landry than any of the cornerbacks that are in that draft. I think Harold Landry, although if Minka Fitzpatrick continues to fall, that's an interesting subplot. Denzel Ward's another guy. I mean, there are a lot of names that there's a lot of talent in that 14th pick, but that is a podcast for another time.
And this is almost uncharted territory, having this 14th pick.
Absolutely. 100%.
So you're going to get a more talented guy than the 32nd pick.
Aaron Donald was the 14th pick. I mean, and he's one of the best defensive players in football, if not the best. So there you go. So moving on to the Bucs, I think it's a little more scary for the Bucs, and what we're probably at our lowest for the Bucs since last year, probably around late February, right before they went on that run and they got hot after. Yeah. And I think everyone
and I argued we were this low this season.
Yeah, you're right.
23-22 when you fired Jason Kidd.
Right. And all of a sudden you're at your peak and then the bottom is just sort of falling out because I think you just see the same mistakes. You know, every Bucks game is kind of like a chore. Like I have to watch this team.
Well, you're right. It's the same mistakes and it's just the same game over and over. It's like they don't have any interest in playing any defense.
Nope.
And then, you know, Malcolm Brogdon says, well, it's our offense. Guys have to get involved in order to feel like they have to play defense. And maybe he's right. That's unfortunate. And I'll also point out, too, I tweeted this out during the game last night, Monday night, that some of the shots the Cavs hit, the best defense in the world isn't going to stop that.
Sure.
That's kind of just the way the NBA is going, but the Bucks don't really have that firepower.
Right. The Bucks haven't done enough to address the fact they don't have just three-point shooters that can line up and be there for Giannis at every waking moment to knock down big shots. But yes, the same mistakes keep happening. I think when you expect them to come out against Atlanta at home, sellout crowd, near sellout crowd on Saturday afternoon, and just lay the hammer down. You're favored by 10 points, and they nearly lose that game. I mean, they kind of had it all the way, but it was close. I mean, Atlanta had shots to win or tie that game and send it to overtime. You gave up 117 points to a bad tanking Atlanta team.
And you gave up 126 three nights before to
a tanking Orlando team. Who didn't have Aaron Gordon, who didn't have Evan Fournier,
Yeah.
You let Jonathan Simmons and DJ Augustin go off. So now you play a Clippers team tonight. I mean, that game could be 140-130. I mean, neither of those teams, the Clippers definitely playing zero defense, as well as the Bucks do not. So definitely could be a great game tonight just from a scoring perspective, but it could be a chore because we haven't seen the Bucks put it all together. So you ask yourself, what's the problem? Is it the players? Is it the coaching? Is it a little bit of both? And I don't even know. I didn't expect.
That's probably both. I mean, I know it's middleman Mitch, but I mean, it is both. That you have, we're finding out that you basically have the same problems right now that you did right before Kidd got fired.
Yep.
I think.
You do.
We just kind of reverted back to just everything, you know, being terrible. Everybody being selfish. They haven't played as a team since the All-Star break.
Right.
You know. Before they were playing easy teams and it looked great, you know.
Right.
You're playing bad teams, they're going to miss more shots. They're not going to take advantage of things as much as the better teams will. But they just, you know, Eric Bledsoe's been terrible. Chris Middleton's been up and down as usual.
If I have to watch Eric Bledsoe drive the lane and just kick it out to absolutely no one for no reason and fail to go up hard for a layup, I might tackle him on the court.
I know.
The fact that I enjoyed Brandon Jennings in a spurt.
It's crazy literally in the game Monday night, it was like, I don't think I want Eric Bledsoe in the fourth quarter right now.
I thought the exact same thing. Like, Brandon Jennings, how good did Brandon Jennings look in that second quarter?
Him and Thon were like,
yes,
had something going, and Thon had maybe his best game in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take out all the Toronto games where he just seems to kill Toronto, I mean, that might have been Thon's best game of the year.
Right, and they were doing that.
That's not saying
they
much.
They were doing that little curl inside the lane and Brandon was finding him every time. And then the lobs that Brandon was hitting Giannis with were like a quarterback.
Right.
Like, and then Bledsoe tried to do the same, and Giannis still got it because he's a freak. But it was still
horrible
very
pass.
Hard. Yeah, it was horrible.
Right.
Like, so.
And like, Bucks Twitter's favorite guy, Hubie Brown, today pointed out. He was good. I mean, he was critical, severely critical of the Bucks in pretty much any turn. But he also was, you know, I was thinking of that when we were talking about Thon just now, that, you know, they were just giving him that little pop-up,
right,
you know, push shot, whatever you want to call it. And he was actually making them, which was, you know, a sight for sore eyes.
But the fact is that they didn't see that all game long and say, okay, now we're going to try this with Jabari. Now we're going to try this with Giannis. Now we're going to do this. And it just didn't make any sense. And so
it's just like everything that can go wrong will go wrong in these games. And it's like, you know, three times, I think, in that second half, they're throwing 50-foot passes, like, off the backboard.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's
then they'll get the ball and LeBron hits a 35-footer.
Yeah, and I think that they...
Love also didn't miss.
I think they have tuned out Joe Prunty. I think that they need a... They need a refresh of that roster and to say, okay.
There is no rebuild. There is no
it's not a it's not a rebuild.
There's got to be a trade.
It is a big trade. It is a, we're going to start showing our nuts. We're going to get a guy who's going to fit with Giannis. And I think this is the real problem. And I've started to squat on this take. I talked about this over the weekend on Daily Tap, and I'm starting to really believe it more. They didn't know what exactly they had with Giannis. And you think about how wild that statement is, right? Because you're like, it's Giannis. We saw it at the end of this year. We thought he'd be this great player. I don't think they knew how much Giannis needed that basketball and how much the team ran through him and how much they needed just supporting guys to compliment him.
Yeah.
Because it is that case. And guys like Eric Bledsoe, guys like Chris Middleton are just destined to be on bad teams where they can shoot the ball as much as they want and have big games, and they don't care about the fact that Giannis is a star. Mm-hmm. And so they need guys that are going to fit in with Giannis. That's what makes guys like Klay Thompson and Draymond Green so great, and why a guy like Kevin Durant, who's a little more passive, can work well within the system.
Mm-hmm.
Because the system had been established. But if you brought Kevin Durant in like day one, it wouldn't have worked. It only worked because Steve Kerr got a couple years to figure it out.
Yeah.
So they got lucky. I mean, they got two guys in the draft, and you wish the Bucks would have drafted better. But the fact of the matter is okay. Sterling Brown showed something. Malcolm Brogdon showed something. I think Delly has a role. And you just have to kind of refresh the roster and go through it piece by piece and say, does this guy fit? Does this guy not? If he doesn't fit, how can we get a coaching staff that's going to get everybody unified together?
Couple things here. You know, you really hate to make the excuses like, well, this guy comes back, but this team misses Malcolm Brogdon. There's
absolutely
no question.
100%.
Because he just has this, like, as sad as it is, he's a second-year player. He just has this, like, calming influence and, like, kind of this leadership about him where, like, where they just desperately miss that basketball IQ. Like, if you put Eric Bledsoe, if you put Malcolm Brogdon's brain in Eric Bledsoe's body, you probably have the best point guard in the NBA.
100%. It's like, no, it's absolutely.
It's, like, it's just unfortunate that, you know, they're not. Obviously, you know, you can't do that. And you kind of wonder about Bledsoe. It's like, are they doing whatever they can to keep him happy? Obviously, he's been known to force his way out of a place.
Right.
Almost at this point, it's like, especially in a game, a big one against Cleveland, when he's just not doing anything productive, you kind of have to think about maybe looking at something else just for that game and saying,
well,
okay,
we'll
Eric. And that's unfortunate because I think Joe Prunty, there's probably like four or five boxes you want a head coach to check. For you know, you want a guy to be a motivator.
Yep.
You want a guy to be good X's and O's, a guy who constantly reevaluates himself and his team. And I think you want a guy who's also a presence.
Yep.
And I think that Prunty probably only checks about two of those boxes. I don't think he's a presence.
No.
I don't think he's much of an X's and O's guy.
No.
I mean, it's just more of the same with Jason Kidd. It's the same staff, essentially.
Right.
So blow the whole staff out and hire Jason Terry as an assistant coach at the end of the season.
Yep, that's probably a worthwhile thing.
I'm talking low level.
So but. I'm glad you brought up staff, and I'm glad we were talking about the future because it was an interesting day on Twitter for a variety of reasons. Starting with the coaching search, Mark Stein put something out today. Mark Stein, noted Jason Kidd source throughout the years, just keep that in mind, said the Bucks are looking to make a big splash. They are looking at guys like Jeff Van Gundy.
And once I got done profusely vomiting.
Kevin McHale, Rick Pitino. Oh, I told you guys Rick Pitino would be involved. I told you. I said it from the start. I'm like, that motherfucker is going to get his name involved because
he's got to keep his name in the news,
he's
right?
He's so thirsty for a job. He is so thirsty for a job. There, if the Bucks even come close to hiring Rick Pitino, I'm out. I'm legitimately out.
Yep.
And I forget the third guy. Fizdale.
Fizdale was in there.
And
that one doesn't make me puke.
No, and someone else was in there.
You could do worse than David Fizdale.
But regardless, so this is early. Alex Lazary shoots that down, and for good reason, right? And the Jeff Van Gundy thing
initially, I was kind of pissed because it was like, don't piss down our legs and tell us it's raining, Alex.
Right. Like, yeah, you know you're getting rid of Prunty. You know you're going to make a big splash.
Yeah.
That list is probably inaccurate for maybe everybody but Van Gundy. Van Gundy's wanted to get back into coaching. Like, that's like one of the worst kept secrets. Bill Simmons talked about it. And whether Van Gundy makes sense or not is a podcast for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a name, right? And that's someone you're going to look at. But you have
but he hasn't coached in like 15 years.
And that's the scary thing. It's like Gruden all over again. It's right. Like, how are you just making a big split? And you don't.
I mean, when a guy watches games and stuff, you can always sort of. You would think he's reevaluated himself, but.
In my opinion, you do not need a big splash of a coach because you have a big splash of a player. So Giannis is going to sell that arena. You don't need a big coach coming in. I do think.
Most importantly, Doc Rivers. I think I'd be all the way out.
Yeah. Oh, Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, I'd also. I don't know if I'd be all the way out, but Doc. I mean,
he's at least coached recently.
I don't know, man.
But
okay.
He sucks, though.
No. See, if you'd let Doc just be a coach and not be a GM.
He's turned that Clippers season around.
Right. That Clippers team is scrappy.
They were dead and buried probably 2 months into the season, and then.
I don't think Doc. Two things about Doc. I don't think Doc's a great talent evaluator. I think he has to have the right people, the right fit.
He's Jason Kidd. I mean,
he's not Jason Kidd.
In terms of like, he's
that
a
entirely.
Former player. He's a he's a 90s guy.
No, you're wrong.
He's a non-analytical guy.
No. You are. I'm sorry. You're wrong. I don't know why you're on. First of all, Chris Paul barely wanted to play with anybody when it came to. Chris Paul is a noted asshole. Blake Griffin, I think, was also a noted asshole. I think he was dealing with a lot of personalities. So you get rid of the two assholes and you get guys like Lou Williams, DeAndre Jordan, Montrezl Harrell, who you've turned into something.
That dude's just a straight energy beast.
I mean, he's awesome. I would love Montrezl Harrell.
Absolutely. That's the type of guys we need.
But that's the thing. They
can't seem to get.
And they got Tobias Harris. You know, his son plays well for him, which whatever. But it's fine. It's fine.
Here's Charlie talking me into Doc Rivers.
No, I just think Doc Rivers it gets a bad rap because he mismanaged a Clippers roster that he really didn't know what the fuck he was doing. They barely had an owner. They had a new guy come in who was just all energy, but he had no idea how to run an NBA team.
Steve Ballmer.
Now Ballmer has an idea, but I just think
wish our owners would follow suit there.
I think there were a lot of elements that were going on with him that their Doc would be okay. And that to your point though, I do think the Bucks could get a guy who's a current coach. I think Frank Vogel is a name. I think Rick Carlisle, I'll still bang that Rick Carlisle drum.
That'd be my number one choice.
Absolutely. I 100% think with what happened with the Mavs situation with the sexual assault stuff.
Yeah, they're kind of a mess. He might want to get out.
He may want to get out.
He might say to Cubes, he might say, look man,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
I gotta go.
This is not good.
Right. Just let me out of my deal.
I've done what I can here.
Oh God.
You know,
I can't get myself excited over Rick Carlisle. Because the Bucks get Rick Carlisle, I would be all in on them winning a championship.
I think people would be pumped. Because I'm not a fan of retreads unless you've won a championship
Or came close. So like you would
okay.
Cause Frank Vogel, right? I mean
I like Vogel too. I brought him up on this podcast before.
Take Nate McMillan, for example, right? Nate McMillan kind of was a, you know, in the weeds coach for Portland.
Yeah.
They weren't good. They were kind of like the Bucks, right? Hanging around. And this is why Jason Kidd's going to get another job, as infuriating as it will be. And then Nate McMillan.
Phoenix Suns.
Nate McMillan has put together that's terrible. And Nate McMillan's put together a pretty damn good team with Indiana who actually can beat Cleveland. And that was something I talked about, wrote about today. It was like, how is Indiana able to beat Cleveland 3 out of 4 times? And the Bucks can only do it once, and it's the same fucking script, like you mentioned on Twitter, yes, on Monday, every time. Mm-hmm. And so yes, I think that.
What about? Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I that's really kind of.
So
all
you think there's guys out there and currently in the NBA? I think that's where I would kind of lean at this point. There's no college guy to me that's really sort of obvious at this point. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, what about Coach Bud in Atlanta?
I think Budenholzer has he's from the Sacramento tree, or I'm sorry, Sacramento. Holy shit.
San Antonio
tree. And
they're
he has
Sacramento guys.
Sacramento tree. Yeah. Shit. Bloody Divac. Bloody. We smoked 5 packs a day.
That one, Does he? I think he has quite a bit of organizational control, though.
Yeah, No, I think he wants to probably build something with the Hawks. I'm sure Schroeder would try to get his way to Milwaukee. He loves Milwaukee, by the way. I don't like Dennis Schroeder that much. I'm just saying he does. He says his favorite place to visit because of all the German culture. Mm-hmm. Fun fact. But anyways, here nor there. So let's also talk about the roster, since Gary Wolfel of Racine Journal Times,
wolfelspressbox.com.
He mentioned that basically Jabari Parker and the Bucks are headed for a breakup. There's nothing they can do, all this stuff. Now, fun fact is Jabari is a restricted free agent. So
the
Bucks can,
it's a very important fun
the
fact.
Bucks can re-sign him. Whether Jabari wants to come back or not, the Bucks have his rights. The Bucks can sign him to a deal.
They can sign and trade.
Sign and trade. I mean,
which works out for both parties.
Absolutely. So I don't know how much stock I'm going to invest
but
into this.
This is a whole other podcast, too.
Absolutely, it is.
I mean, this is a lot to unpack.
The Jabari thing's an interesting thing that we'll probably talk about in the summer. But Alex Lazary came out with the cannon again and said that's fake news.
Twice in a day, which is...
I think Alex was like, Alex is just as fed up as us, just about different shit.
Yeah. He's he's fed up with the team, too, probably. But I mean, he just obviously wouldn't say that.
No.
He analyzes most games on Twitter.
Right.
He'll give a little tweet after the game saying, I thought this could have gone this way and that could have gone this way and we probably win type of thing.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, well, probably not, but I mean. You know?
I just think certain individuals shouldn't act like they are, A, an insider, B, read into everything that's put out there and forget that they have a large voice in the social media sphere. That's right. All I'll say. That was a subtweet. And we know who we're talking about. And I just, you know, I think he doesn't understand that sometimes. And I think he starts shit for no real reason. Not Alex.
Yeah.
Just a certain fan.
I think I know who you're talking about.
A certain fan who puts himself on a pedestal.
Yeah.
For no real reason at all.
But those two gentlemen were going at it on Twitter. And
It was entertaining.
It was pretty gold.
I had my popcorn out.
Shouts out to those guys.
Shouts
for that
out.
Afternoon.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
So, yeah, but I think as far as the roster, I mean, you know, like I said, you miss Malcolm and you miss Deli, but I do think there's probably something in the offseason. It's got to be done, and I think it involves Eric Bledsoe or Chris Middleton.
Or both. Or both for a mega deal.
One or both of those guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of a mega deal you're going to get.
No, but
unless you combine them.
I think that's what I'm saying. I think the analytics the Bucks have, well, they'll really look at who's more valuable to this team. And I think they may think it's Chris Middleton. I know that might pain some Bucks fans, but I think a coach who tells Chris Middleton got so fucked by Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd got so far in his head.
I think Jason Kidd just loved Chris Middleton too
right.
And made him and tried to turn him into this, like, you know,
slasher Dwayne Wade type, where he's like, you have to go to, he's like, twos are good baskets and like this, that. Like, Chris shot 9 threes yesterday and looked good doing it.
Had a good game.
So maybe they finally said to him, like, these video guys are like, you have to start shooting the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's not going in. Shoot 9 times a game. If only 2 of them go in, fine. You're getting good looks. Do not pass up on these. Some nights you're going to go 6 of 9. Nice. And you're going to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
You're
going to go 6 of 9 and enjoy yourself.
Six of nine's good stuff. Shout out to Gronk.
So,
okay. I mean, so to wrap this up, or did you have something else? I'm sorry.
No, I think that's enough for tonight. We can. I'm sure we'll rehash this next week.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. It's, who knows? Do you get?
I guess the bottom line, just to wrap it up, kind of is this: let's ride this wave.
Maybe skip Bayless's tweet fires up Giannis and the team, and he just says, okay.
Shit, thanks, Skip. I never thought about that. But
I did. Think about everything,
just,
Mitch.
We have the. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs.
No,
let's not worry about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got about 6 guaranteed wins.
Right.
One would think.
And this, you could be 3-1 this week, and everything's hunky-dory. I mean, that's the crazy thing. I mean, the Spurs are a mess. Who knows when Kawhi Leonard's actually going to come back.
Probably be Sunday.
Maybe. That would be such a Bucks thing.
Of course, that'd be our luck. But, of course, they'll probably want to bring him back at home.
Right.
And then it'll probably be the night before at home or whenever they play.
Then they play the Bulls on Friday and then the Clippers tonight. So definitely 3 winnable games, 3 losable games too. So we'll see. I don't think they'd lose all 3.
I mean, make the playoffs and kind of see what happens there. Maybe this team locks in and shocks the world. I don't know.
They can beat the Celtics. I mean, you want the Celtics right now.
You probably want the Celtics.
And so
we've played good games against Toronto as well. I'm not saying you're going to beat a one as an 8 seed. That never happens in the NBA. It hasn't happened in 10 years, 12 years.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd was a part of that, by the way.
He was. And
or Jason Terry, excuse me. And Jason Kidd.
I think the 2-7 matchups, you're Jimmy GM. The Celtics have been like 500 since a certain point of the season. They're banged up. Kyrie Irving seeing a second opinion on his knee.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's not good.
I mean, if they don't have Kyrie.
They might fall to the 3, and Cleveland might end up getting the 2. And so then actually you just want to probably play Boston right now. That's really where you're at. You just want to find a way to play Boston because they're probably the most vulnerable team out of that top 3, but probably the best coach with Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
So
you have and obviously, too, if you're going to make the 7 seed, you're not going to have a first-round pick. So I think it pretty much forces your hand to make a trade.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so where do you put your worriedness with the Bucks right now for the future? And I guess we'll just say the season. I mean, not really that you're worried about the season, but...
probably about a 6 or 7.
There's just
a lot in flux and a lot to worry about, a lot to sort of assess.
Yeah,
where we are. I mean, the season hasn't gone exactly as well as we probably all had hoped.
Yep.
Some of the more realistic people, you know,
were like I told you,
probably not even expecting it. They probably were still expecting it to be a little better.
Right. To be at least fun. I mean, it's not even fun right now. And that was the whole point of my podcast yesterday.
It's been fun at times, but, you know, for the most part, this season has been
a bummer.
It's been kind of a bummer, yeah.
I would put myself right. I hate to that I keep agreeing with you, but I actually would probably say this. I'd say when it comes to the coaching, I'm about an 8 to 8.5. And when it comes to the roster, I'm about a 6. Because I think the roster with Giannis, you have to keep figuring it out. It's going to take time. It's not an easy 1-2 decision.
Right.
And it's going to take time. But I do think with the coaching staff, that kind of shapes what the next 3 or 4 years is going to look like.
The coach it's so important, and it's just...
Yeah, it's
scary because they fucked... The ownership has screwed everything up.
I know. It's just like, and that's why it's an 8.
I mean, we've said it before. Everything on the business side has been wonderful. World class.
Right.
But everything on the basketball side, there's just a long list of dysfunctions.
They just haven't got the right guy up top to run just the basketball operations.
Right.
And they refuse to do it. And until they do it, it's not good. And you just wish Zanuck would have just, you know, they would have fired Kidd because that's probably what Zanuck
wanted. Is he back
in
Utah?
I don't know where Zanuck is. Maybe hanging out.
Did you see that stat? Speaking of Utah, I retweeted it. How good Jay Crowder's been for Utah.
Yeah. Jay Crowder's been awesome.
Their lineup with, like, I think it's Rubio, Mitchell, Ingles, Crowder, and Gobert has some insane defensive rating, and they've since, you know, they got him.
The playoffs is...
And they've only lost twice since they got him, I think.
The playoffs are going to be fucking awesome. I just want to put that out there right now. The playoffs are going to be...
Like if Utah gets a 7 and has to play Golden State again or something?
Utah is really good. The Blazers, I think, are damn good. Blazers play the Rockets. We're taping Tuesday night. They play that. That's a nice TNT late night game for those who stay awake.
I'll be interested in that.
But yeah, no, that's... So yeah, you have some good... There's some really... Anthony Davis, you know, it was taking it to another level.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot going on there.
I mean, Minnesota's like in danger of falling out of the playoffs.
I know, it's crazy.
And they haven't been like embarrassingly bad, but they've been average.
No, I mean, well, without Jimmy Butler, it's hard it's hard to really judge that team.
True.
And I think I know a lot of T-Wolves fans would be disappointed because they haven't made the playoffs since 2004. I mean, imagine us like talking about the Bucks. The Bucks hadn't made a playoff since 2004. That is a long time.
But they have that qualifier that we're in the West. So.
We're in the West, right? So it doesn't matter. All right.
And
so,
the East is apparently terrible. But
no,
not this
the
year.
East is good this year. So don't let anyone tell you differently. So to wrap up this podcast, so our last pillar, as Mitch called it earlier, is the Milwaukee Brewers. Milwaukee Brewers have not addressed their starting pitching, and it's kind of a topic that I think every podcast, every local radio has talked about, and we've talked about it at great length. But it's the question of, is this going to actually pay off for the Brewers? You know, they do the fun Sandlot video. It seems like this team's having a lot of fun. Like, they are just having a good time. They are like what you hope the Bucks would be in terms of we're going to have a lot of fun with this roster and maybe piss a few people off in the process.
That word chemistry, right?
Yes, absolutely. There is a infectious...
I don't think that matters as much in baseball.
I disagree. 100%. Sorry.
Chemistry put you in the make you do better in the batter's box?
No, but Theo Epstein said one of the biggest things he learned about from himself was that,
mind you, I didn't say it didn't matter at all.
Right. But Theo said the thing that changed for me to Boston to Chicago is I started valuing team chemistry more than I ever did. And that I took what I know about the numbers to pair it up with good guys and good clubhouse guys, and it seemed to really work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a World Series at doing it that way,
yeah.
I can trust that David Stearns kind of used the similar philosophy.
Yeah, and I don't think that's an issue on this team whatsoever.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, you have Ryan Braun, who kind of does his own thing, but I think he's always done that.
Right. And you just have a bunch
He likes to lay low.
A bunch of young guys who like to have a good time and like
what
to just...
What if Bronny was in the Sandlot video? That would have been great.
Yeah. I think they wanted to keep it out there because they didn't just want the comments. Like, how dare you taint this video with a steroid user?
Yeah. Well, there was enough of that, too. Like, you know, they should be worrying about hitting in the cage. And it's like, you dumb
fucks.
I saw a couple of those.
I hate fucking people.
I think that was on like a SportsCenter post doing it though.
Morons just do not. I swear to God. They're just, no, they never do. They never do.
But
like,
it's like they filmed it like before the camp even started.
Yeah.
And I think Adam McKelvey pointed out like on Monday morning, he's like, I think they got Christian Yelich just to play the role in that video of Benny the Jet. Because, you know, he looks like it. He's kind of a pretty boy, too, and he's probably the best player on the team.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was almost perfect.
It was too perfect. It was a great thing they did. I really enjoyed it, and it was a lot of fun. And so, yes, this team has showed a shit ton of chemistry, but will it matter with the starting pitching? Because,
plus, yeah, I mean, you have goofballs like Stephen Vogt and,
yeah,
you know, who that ref video that he did too.
Oh, the ref
that
video.
Was fire as
the
well.
Ref video was almost more funny.
Oh,
than
that was absolutely. I was crying.
I was dying laughing. So they're just having fun. But is fun going to translate into wins? Because that's what people are going to say. This is the hot take artist.
Oh, it's coming.
Here it is. All right. Big drive. Charlie here with you. Call the Teleconnect hotline at 855-9552. We are talking. The Brewers like to have fun with their Sandlot videos, but they are now struggling. They're 8-5, and we're wondering, how concerned are you about this team? Call in now. Do it today.
Yeah, that's one of these.
Because that's what it's going to be. I said 8-5. I really fucked that up. But like, they're 5-8. Are you ready to push the panic button yet with this Brewer season?
Was that Sandlot video?
Did that
affect the team?
Did that affect the team? Like, people are just going to like pick the chemistry thing apart because that's what people do. Like, people are like, I know they like to have fun, but all this other shit.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is yes, starting pitching could be an issue. I'm really not that concerned because a couple things. Baseball is a really long season. Guys can pop out of nowhere and be good. I mean,
and unfortunately, injuries are going to happen.
Yes, that's also another
thing.
Which
is going to affect the depth that we don't really have
at
the moment.
And you're going to get Jimmy Nelson back.
You're going to get Jimmy back.
And you could make a trade for a pitcher at some point in the season. Like, trades are possible. You have a loaded farm system. You can make trades for guys.
But yeah, the trades are going to happen. Guys get hurt, but it does kind of scare me a bit that Suter's kind of, you're looking at your de facto number five right now.
Well, what if Suter's your number five, but you are already penciling in that Josh Hader is going to pitch two or three innings every Suter start?
That could be. That probably might be what they're planning.
I just made you feel better in a second. In a second. That's all it took. I think the Brewers have a plan. I think they are mad geniuses. David Stearns.
Till he throws one middle in, first pitch, and somebody drops dick and fucking sends it over the fence.
Listen, David Stearns is on, like, he walks on water at this point. David Stearns has not been wrong about one thing. And he just has been right upon right.
Chris Davis trade doesn't look to be too great.
Fine. But you can nitpick.
There's been 100 other moves.
But
though.
I do think that David Stearns knows what he's doing with this roster and trusts that they have enough starting pitching because they have a kick-ass bullpen. And what we've seen now is that bullpens matter more than starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really going to be put to the test. And I think the Brewers are going to do some innovative shit with their starting pitching. And it's going to maybe get a lot of the old guys like, oh, they can't even get past six innings. Why do we even bother? And it's like, yeah. No, you don't. We don't need them to.
Well, I do hope that we can kind of, you know, if the organization is going to do that, then in July, don't tell me the bullpen's tired.
That's a great point. I mean that's a great point.
If you're going to do this and have eight guys in the bullpen.
No, you have to balance.
I better not once hear that, you know.
Everybody's
tired. We're overworking the bullpen.
Really good thing to keep in mind.
And that's going
to
happen.
When we start talking about the Brewers, that's a really good thing to keep in mind about how they are managing their bullpen and mm-hmm. how if Council sometimes gets too finicky, I think, with like getting the right matchup and he drives himself crazy. And so maybe because it's now what, year three for Craig Council?
Yeah.
Maybe that Craig Council kind of has a little better understanding of I can leave guys in or I don't have to just play the matchup. Like Josh Hader shouldn't just be in against Bryce Harper. He should just pitch that whole inning. That was literally one of my least favorite Council mm-hmm. moments of all time. Strikes out Bryce Harper and he's like, oh, we're going to replace you for I forget who. But he gave up a bunch of runs and it was like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think maybe that's the one thing to watch for this season. Because you're right. If you're going to say this and you're going to say, we're really going to trust our bullpen most nights out.
We're going to use guys, maybe extended innings or something like that. And it's like, well, then don't tell me 3 months in the season that the guys are tired.
Guys are tired and the bullpen's a mess. Because if the bullpen's a mess, then you're really screwed.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be successful.
And then you have no pitching.
So, but it's crazy that opening day is literally like next Thursday.
Next Thursday, yep.
Next Thursday, we have the first game, Brewers Padres.
In San Diego. I think it's like a 5:40 Central time.
No, like I think it's like 3:30.
Oh, is it 3:40?
3:40.
So it's 1:40 Pacific time.
Yeah, nice little afternoon. Get out of work early. Go watch the crew. Enjoy yourself. I mean, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds like a definite plan. Maybe get a little doghouse catering. I don't know. But yeah, no. So do we want to talk about our brackets real quick? I know we're kind of running out here at time.
So we're not that nervous though about this rotation, or we are?
I am gonna put myself at I've now talked to myself that I'm in like a 4.5. I thought I was a little more nervous than I was. I'm okay.
Clearly they have big plans for this bullpen. They've got some good guys out there. So I mean, I could probably say a 5.
Okay.
Just I wish there was one more body.
I hear you.
One more competent body, but it's not the end of the world. Better than giving Alex Cobb 3 for $50 or whatever.
Yeah, he got signed today, didn't he?
By Baltimore, correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep. So
they obviously didn't think Alex Cobb was that good.
No.
And there were some worries, I think, with the fact that Tampa had a couple guys get arm injuries, and that's not great either.
Right.
So I will talk a lot about the Sweet 16 and
there's stuff to say, but it's for the most part.
Well, yeah.
If your bracket, I mean, nobody has a good bracket.
Somebody's
got to win your
Mitch
pool.
Mitch got mushed by Arizona. That was the Mitch mush of the year. He's now saying next year he's going to pick all ones. I literally think we'll talk about it next year. We'll keep this in mind. We really should just have you do a complete chalk bracket, or like at least like maybe pick one upset per region and then chalk the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And just do it like that and see what happens.
Because there's one team that goes to the Sweet 16. This year it's Loyola.
Right. Sister Jean.
Sister Jean. And, you know, so they're getting way more national media coverage than they've ever dreamt of.
Absolutely. It's
in
great.
In the Horizon League.
You bet. Yeah.
So,
they're
not anymore, but they when they were.
Egg on the Horizon League's face. Just
yep.
continues to get shit on. Like, Horizon League's been getting shit on since Butler left.
But the tournament's been pretty good.
I think the tournament's been great.
A lot of blown leads.
Yeah, I'm so mad that we have to watch more Syracuse basketball. I know you kind of like Syracuse.
Yeah.
But they play such a boring-ass style of basketball.
2-3 zone is pretty rough.
How Michigan State lost that game was incredible. Maybe mm-hmm. more incredible than UMBC. No, I'm just kidding. The UMBC thing was is out-of-body experience.
Yeah, I haven't been that excited about a college basketball game in years, probably.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like you just really couldn't believe what you were watching.
Wish I'd have taken that $50 from Pat.
Yes, that was a mistake. That could have made it for a more fun St. Patty's Day
than
it already was.
I wanted to try to lock that in after that little spurt to start the second half, and there's no way he would have taken
No. He wanted to do
it. It was tied at half. I was like, they're going to lose tonight.
Yeah, Mitch called it.
And
our friend.
I didn't really believe it. I mean, it was tied at a whole second half.
Right.
But once they got down, it was kind of like,
yeah,
Virginia can't come back from this.
No, they were stunned. Like they literally shut their pants.
I mean, they did not know what to do.
No, completely shell shocked. It was, I hadn't seen anything like it. So,
but
that
yet,
was entertaining.
People still want Tony Bennett to coach the Bucks.
Yeah, get the fuck out. So, we will talk. Probably,
I mean, had they made a deep run, I would have maybe thought about it.
No. Oh man, I'm so glad we didn't have to have that conversation. All right. So next week, I'm sure we'll talk about the Final Four, see where we are at with the Bucks as we get closer and closer to the NBA playoffs. We will talk about the Brewers at large, look at the budding rivalry with the Cubs, and if the Cardinals are worth worrying about, and talk a little bit, a lot about that baseball upcoming 2018 season. So for Mitch, I'm Charlie. Take care, Tappers. Have yourself a good rest of the week. See you.
Peace.